I'm Marco Werman with The World. Fighting in eastern Ukraine has flared up in recent days. Ukrainian government forces are still battling Russian-backed separatist rebels there, despite a two-year-old peace deal. The Trump administration says it's monitoring the situation, but today, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee urged President Trump to do more. Senator John McCain wants Trump to supply Ukraine with lethal weapons to counteract Russian support for the rebels. Kiev-based correspondent David Stern is also keeping an eye on eastern Ukraine for the BBC. He says fighting in the region surges from time to time, but the recent uptick in violence seems different.
This one is particularly intense. In fact, it's some of the heaviest fighting that we've seen in about a year. It's concentrated around one town in particular, an industrial town called Adiivka. And apparently there's been heavy shelling throughout the night, but also you can hear it during the day. And most importantly, there have been heavy casualties. Over the last 5 days or so, it's difficult to say how many altogether. I think we're well above a dozen, maybe even close to 20, depending on when you start counting.
So Moscow and Kiev are blaming each other. Is there any way of knowing who started this round of fighting and why in this industrial city?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no way of knowing, to be honest. The Ukrainians have been pushing into what's known as the gray zone. That's the area that's not occupied, the no man's land between the two of them. But at the same time, the rebels have been regularly shelling the Ukrainian positions, and they seem to have increased the shelling recently. So I guess you could say that, you know, if the most recent incident that we can point to is the increase on the rebel side. This town of Adiivka is economically important. It's a factory town, and it's always been a focus of the fighting in the last 3 years that this war has been going on.
What do people in Kiev make of the timing of this fighting coming so soon in Trump's administration?
Well, not only so soon in Trump's administration, but so soon after his first conversation with the Russian President Vladimir Putin. I guess you could say they don't know, but you can't say that these are directly connected. But it's their fear. That they are. It's a fear that Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin have reached a deal over their heads without the Europeans' involvement either, that gives Russia more of a free hand in Ukraine, perhaps even handing Ukraine over to Russia. I mean, that's the fear. Mm. But what it does seem is that this has emboldened the Russians. This is at least the minimum that people are saying that they expect that the reasons for the fighting is that the Russians feel that they're able to raise the temperature. Now, it should be said that the Russians are accusing the Ukrainians of raising the temperature because they feel that they are in a bad situation and they need to curry favor with the Europeans and the Americans. So obviously accusations go both ways.
I mean, it's not totally clear yet the entire landscape, but how much concern have you heard among Ukrainians about the U.S. doing a 180 on who it supports? Ukraine last year, Russia seemingly this year.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 11, they're panicked. There's also arguments that the U.S. can't do a 180 to recognize Russia's annexation of the Crimea, to lift the sanctions, given the opposition in the U.S. Congress, within the U.S. Political class. This is really a step too far. But we've also seen, in the last week, just with the administration, many things we didn't think we would be seeing. So I guess people are prepared for just about any development.
Trump's UN ambassador Nikki Haley has been reaffirming U.S. support for, quote, the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine, end quote. That's according to a press release from her office. Is that reassuring to Ukrainians at all?
Sure. Any statement is potentially reassuring. But what really matters is actions and facts on the ground. It should also be said that other members of the Trump administration are also supportive, if not bullish, on Ukraine. And they do look towards her. They've looked to statements by Rex Tillerson, among others. So they're not packing their bags quite yet and ready to flee the capital. But there's a worry because obviously there is a great deal of uncertainty, lack of clarity. And as I say, things seem to be developing very quickly.
David, the U.S. military has been assisting Ukraine's armed forces for several years. How battle ready are the Ukrainians now?
They're not only battle ready, they are indeed battling. As I say, they're much better. You could say 3 years ago when this conflict first began, there really wasn't much of a Ukrainian army. Now, the U.S. military hasn't been training all of Ukrainian troops, but the assistance, from what I understand, has been greatly appreciated and greatly needed. I guess, as the Brits would say, the proof is in the pudding. What happens if this becomes a major escalation, how prepared the Ukrainians are, we'll see. key. The other thing that the United States is, well, the thing that they're not doing is providing so-called lethal weapons, not defensive weapons, but, you know, weapons that can actually make a difference on the battlefield. This is something that the Ukrainians have asked for repeatedly. The Americans have not given that, or the previous administration. There are voices in Congress pushing for that, but, you know, that's something that the Ukrainians really feel, above and beyond the training that they've been getting, that's something they really feel would make a huge difference.
Correspondent David Stern in Kyiv. Thank you very much.
Thank you.